Good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday, August 1st, 2023. It's 9 a.m. We are here as the San Luis County Board of County Commissioners regular meeting. We're calling this meeting to order. Please rise for the invocation by Commissioner Tony Tyler and the State of Allegiance by Commissioner Luis Lopez.
Lord, thank you for this new morning. I promise to watch you this week. We humbly ask the Lord to bless us to be before you. May you go before us and guide us in every way.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Mr. Bronkat.
Commissioner Hass?
Here.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Here.
Commissioner Peter Lopez?
Here. Approval of the agenda. Do we have any changes to the agenda, Mr. Bronkat?
We do, Commissioner, and ask the board to table item 9A. And remove item 9G.
So we have table 9A and remove 9G. Any other changes to the agenda?
No other changes, Commissioner.
Thank you. If there are no questions, I will entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. Consideration of minutes, regular meeting minutes of June 6, 2023. Commissioners, do you have any comments, questions, edits, recommendations? Otherwise, I will entertain a
motion. Motion to approve regular meeting minutes of June 6, 2023.
Second.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. Section 3, reading our correspondence, Commissioner Community Reports. Commissioner Luis Lopez, we have to go first.
Yes, Chairman, thank you. On the 27th of July, I attended the local South Central TPR meeting in Walterburg. It was held at the Council of Governments home there on Polk Street, and all three commissioners were able to attend in Los Angeles County. And we were able to get all the updates that's going on throughout the communities and the bridges. But the biggest concern that we had at the time was the washouts on Highway 350 on the shoe flies from the severe rainstorm we've had. They are now, Highway 350 is now open as of last week. We're going to go for another few days while we're prepared to be made. So, there's a lot of other progress going on with the updates and silk roads and paving projects around our region. The one topic was brought up was exit 14. We clarified that once again. Exit 14 here seems to have some lobbyists pushing for a multimodal station. Made it very clear that the Front Range Rail is nowhere near completion of getting a ballot measure put together, much less having this rail come to fruition. So this time we're still in the development plan phases of it, and alerted that board and that organization and CDOT that $5 million allocated was not solely to exit 14, but to all exits in the city of Trinidad. So we're trying to make sure that outside lobbyists don't push for our community needs, and instead the community needs comes from the community leaders and our property owners. And speaking of property owners, they reached out to Mr. and Mrs. Steele, the owners of J.M. Tire, and Mr. Ed Bell, and had communication with them after that meeting to indicate to them where we're at with this project and where it's not at. And then their contact was given to CDOT and to Council of Governments directly, Jennifer Oliver, for future communications with them, since they are the adjacent property owners to exit 14, or two of the multiple owners there. And at that time, I was appointed to another board with the Colorado Department of Transportation organization for the Freight Management and Safety Branch. So probably another board on the belt. Thank you very much. I'm glad I attended. I thought I'd receive another board or two. That happens when you don't go to meetings, they appoint you. But this will go hand in hand with the Front Range Rail, and it'll give us more leverage and power in our community to help assist getting that accomplished down here in Los Angeles and working with counties with the district that are going to come to us. Following the TPR meeting, and then Morgan Davis can share with us the medical
exam.
We have the Council of Governments board meeting, which is moving right along with the renovations of that facility and the grant money. The contracts were awarded, and renovations will start on the senior center there, which will be combining with the Council of Governments offices with our AAA program, Veronica Mays. And we're really looking forward to that. It's $1 million budget for that renovation. And there's just a few hiccups to clear up with zoning. Legal description and the attorneys can handle that. We're still looking for contractors to assist the building program. The CDBG grants will be renewed, and we have money available once again for the loan processes. Internally, for the finance department there in HR, we are purchasing new software to move forward, which I'm going to present that to county to take a look at the future references if we ever need to look at another type of system if need be. This board approved it, very good system and very good for accounting. The purpose of the reason why is because of our current accounting firm is also a Council of Governments accounting firm that does all of our audits. So this software was picked in particular to assist with that process, even though we have a very competent financial team here. It's probably there's no need for it, but to assist that organization, it was a deficit in that type of professional skills. And now we have Mr. Blasio on board, so I think that will be reconciled soon. So, Council of Governments is moving right along. They have a lot of opportunities here in the community for a lot of packages and benefits for the community and resources for many people. The busing ridership, I'd like to touch on that. Is exceeding on a daily basis ridership. And we're getting 50, 40% coming from Pueblo South to Trinidad to visit. We thought it would just be mainly going north. So we're seeing just about 50%, 50, 40, 60, 40 of ridership coming to Trinidad from our urban area. So it's really good to see that, which also assists in helping get the Front Range Rail numbers to look so it'll show beneficial for the business owners and community to have that here. But this bus is a great start to implement and see the production and benefit of that. On the 28th of July, the Front Range Passenger Rail met in person in Boulder, Colorado. I wasn't able to attend in Boulder. We had the local county fair here, and I attended via phone for a brief while. The main reason for the Boulder meet was to communicate with the city and county officials in the Boulder area. The biggest hiccup we have with the northern area of the Front Range with the rail is the V-Train that was never completed with the RTD that was promised 30 years ago with taxation up there. So we're trying to figure out how we can incorporate that with Front Range Rail at this point in time and start the communication and the discussion for the Front Range Rail to possibly have that come to fruition and assist RTD in getting that thing to come. So, connectivity along the Front Range under the rule in the urban areas is going to be a benefit for everyone 20 to 40 years in the future right now. So if we can accomplish that at this time in the next 2 to 4 years, I think it'd be a benefit for everybody. And then we have the EIAF grant short board meeting, which we all attended. And I was also to be able to attend the county fair throughout the week, off and on. And I'd like to say congratulations to all the kids and the parents and our staff who attended, and Mrs. Arnold and Kim downstairs with the 4-H Extension Office. A big thank you to them, and a very proud moment for our own caller and Robert Lucero. I'd like to say thank you for your children, raising your children to have grandchildren. He was the grand champion steer. For our county fair, congratulations to you and your family. I'm sure it's a great honor. And it was wonderful for me to witness that and see all you guys there. And yesterday, we had our wonderful 8-hour session of the Board of Equalization meetings, and I'll leave it at that. That's my report, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner Hatz, for the June 4th of July, the Prime Commission and Third Avenue State Park Boards met, and the primary discussion was on the Surrender of Health Act 2, which was scheduled here shortly. On August 3rd, we have a moonlight on the Third Avenue State Lake Park. And on the 23rd of September, there will be a foot race, a Fishing State Park Trail race. That's those were the two events that we were reviewing. I had a unique opportunity on the 25th, along with CPW and ABC Disabilities, to participate in a wheelchair demonstration on our Trinidad streets. We were given a wheelchair and we gathered from the pool barn in the morning for the birthday to its west to sail back to Chimino Park and up Convent Street to the pool barn in the morning. Got to tell you, there were some logistical events that we got there. Then I had the honor of accepting a $5,500 check on behalf of the Friends of Michigan State Board and State Parks Board. Proceeds with along with many other donations will help to enable the purchase of the park's first track chair. So we're really excited to have our first track chair, and we're going to try to get two more. If we can get two more track chairs, CPW has stated that they would hire a full-time hire to manage that program in the same time. So that will give our veterans, disabled veterans, the opportunity to have lunch or also enjoy the new parks or the new trails that we're on. So that was a lot of fun.
That would happen to your finger then?
No, I broke that finger a long time ago. And then on the 26th, I was able to attend along with our PSO, my open pack that. And, kudos to Ray Owen and our PSO for pulling Mexico participants in Region 19 and 22 together. It's the first time that we've been participating that. 20 different subjects were identified due to the burn pits. Yes, all heard is everybody suffered there in those bird pits to don't do that in return. Wanted to make that very evident. David Callahan, director of the Department of Vets and Military Affairs, along with her and Bobby were present. And it was an honor to sit there and listen. Challenges that our veterans have to endure to get medical services here in the region. It's very fulfilling to cross state lines. And of course, Los Angeles County is a strong need to be visited from New Mexico. It makes it really difficult to be. We have to drive all the way out and struggle. So, thank goodness for the bus stand that we were able to get here in the service pattern because now they can run the bus stand to some of those services. On the 27th, I was one of the other commissioners. I attended the Army, and I'll just highlight a few things that are maintenance. Check those for the maintenance. The state line
I'll have this time. It's on my first time. Highway 12, the restricted bridge that our coal mine struggled with, and it's the improvement on the track plan. Other things other than the 350 bridge replacement and the stormwater damage was you're talking about the 10th curve that is just west of the photograph of the 9th. Lots of wrecks. Strengthening bridge structures with two, strengthening both reinforcement. We're doing a 5.5 quarter wildlife study on Pathway Pass. There will be paving projects in 5.16 and 5.10. Let's see what this is. Crystal Driving also wanted the DPR to know that CPW is not contemplating the exit 8 entrance, public entrance, only exits 11 and 3. Total build out of the trails, we've got one that are actually available at this time, 20 miles of trails, and we're projecting out 100 miles of trails over the next year. But I think the more consultant to survive the weather. Lastly, congratulations to the 4-H and
thank you, sir. We'll probably later at the point. I happen to be attending the National Association of Counties as the Colorado Executive Board Member Representative. And one of the conversations that we had at the national level was the accessibility of broadband in rural America. And I was very excited to attend the meeting with PPR and CDOT because one of the commissioners from that particular board made a statement that CDOT will be working now with communities to provide fiber and broadband accessibility where that was one of the challenges that rural America has had. So we had this conversation at the national level, but it's going to be happening as well here in Colorado, opening up the conduit for counties in remote areas to use the CDOT right away to lease, rent, or procure broadband accessibility. So that was really good. The National Association of Counties, a lot of presentations from various counties. When you think it's not happening there, it's happening everywhere. The most salient points that we addressed was, of course, housing. And we had a debate if we continue to call it affordable housing, because right now it's so expensive to build. So we got in a conversation to stop talking about affordable housing and get accessibility to housing, because right now in some of the parts of the United States to build, because the lack of qualified tradesmen and accessibility to the supply chain, these complexes are becoming so expensive. And then the COVID mandates that different states have. If you have a unit of 20, if you have a complex of 20 units or more, now you have to have so many other things like electric vehicle charging stations, so on and so forth. So when this breakout session was over and done with, I think everybody understood that accessibility is probably accessibility to housing rather than affordable housing, because the subsidies is going to start, they're going to start to fade away. The next big topic that I attended and obviously was very at the top of the list was the opioid pandemic nationwide. The fentanyl impact throughout the various states and the various countries, and that was one of the conversations we had. So I wanted to go back just very briefly for the DPR meeting that we had, and I really want to give a shout out to Commissioner Luis Lopez for as Commissioner has made a motion to appoint him to the Colorado Department of Transportation. It is a very well combined with the Front Range Rail. We don't need to have anybody else, a different voice in this part of the state. You have been involved with the Front Range, and this is going to be right there. So congratulations. I know this whole thing is going to be you might be a strong voice for Southern Colorado, but I would say thank you. And the Commissioner Tony has mentioned the meeting that we had with Ray Oro. I attended the last portion of that particular meeting. And one of the things that are there as a lack of care in the San Jose County is access to primary care. Primary care, as I used to manage the primary care clinic, it is one of the most complex things because all they need is the regular checkups, drugs, they need the referral to the specialist. And the recommendation, I guess, that the marching orders and the action items is, how does the community of Trinidad come together with those medical providers and provide those services for the veterans that have served this nation and get those services here in the San Luis County? So there's going to be another roundtable, hopefully with the CEOs of every medical provider, the hospital clinic, and then, of course, Salud Family Health Center, bring it to the table and see what the Iraqis need to take care of to get those services provided to the vets here in the San Luis County. So from that, we have, that would be the official report, and I know we have today is the 1st of August, and we have so many employees within our county that are celebrating perhaps anniversaries, celebrating birthdays, and so on. So we want to give a shout out to all the San Jose County the August babies and August anniversaries. And I know we have one of our very own here in the office. Sean, happy birthday to you. And Luis Lopez will sing happy birthday at the picnic on Friday.
Right, you betcha.
Yeah, so, and congratulations. We want to recognize every month we have so many special employees and colleagues that we work with every single month. So we don't want to be at that to be at the goal of it. So that would be my reporting. Thank you, gentlemen, for that. We're going to go to the next segment, and that's going to be the elected officials update. I have a message here from Sheriff Maverick. No updates. So we have Los Santos County Assessor. Clerk and Recorder. Treasurer. District Attorney. Order. Okay, do we have anyone sign up for a public comment?
No, sir, we don't.
And at this time, anyone from the that is joining us online, if you wish to use this section for public comment with the Board of County Commissioners, 3 minutes. All you need to do is unmute, raise your hand. Anyone online? Okay, and so hearing none, now we're going to go to section 6. We have a presentation from the Rough Bike Race Organizer and Nora Jenny. Good morning. We see you there. How is the sound? Can you hear us? We cannot hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Good morning. Good morning, Commissioners. Good morning, Phil. Thank you for your time on the schedule this morning. I'll try to make it brief. This morning's agenda for me was to put on the awareness and get official approval for the use of the fairgrounds in relationship to the RAD. In addition, to put on your radar and ask approval to utilize a local group, 4-H, FFA, whoever you would indicate you would prefer, to run that and potentially receive those proceeds. So those are the two questions. The idea being that we could offer additional lodging to our participants and hopefully benefit a local organization to run that at the same time.
How many participants do you think will be occupying that facility?
It's because we've not done it, I'm not certain yet. You know, I think it would may take a couple years to take hold, and I don't know that it would be an enormous amount this year, maybe a good fine-tuning this year. We could also, one of the things we've done in Leadville is limited those positions or those available spots. So we do this with the college up here, and the college essentially runs it. I've talked with Brandy and talked through the idea of them running the link through the fairgrounds or through her, as they've done with other organizations and other events like this. And what would happen is you could put a quota, a cap on the number that you wanted to actually say yes to, and even reassess and go, hey, actually, we found more room, or nope, that's where we want to stop. But that might be a way to handle it this year, just to get a good idea of how it works and if it works. And or I think you have some other events or potential things happening in that area in that time frame, possibly, is what she indicated.
Not aware.
There are some other scheduled events. And by all means, Fairgrounds Coordinator Brandy Bowman, please chime in here if I don't get this articulated correctly, that are taking place at the same time.
Oh, yes, we do have.
Go ahead, Brandy.
I'm sorry, Phil. I don't know if my service is really good, but we do have right now scheduled, or our facilities rented for two other events at that time, the outdoor arena and the indoor arena. It has been rented, but it is not official yet for the rental. They do have a 30-day time frame in order to get that, locked in. So we would know more about the facilities at that time. But we do have our park and hall available at the time. We have the back outfield.
So if I can chime in, I don't believe the two events that are scheduled or potentially scheduled will have a conflict with what the RAD events want to do. The RAD events want to have camping areas, tent areas that their participants can set up within the fairgrounds complex back behind the announcer stand, I would call it, and or in the open area just north of the park there, and use the bathroom facilities like they have in the past. We've also did something similar with camping like this for the, and I think it's called the 160, I believe it's called the Pony Express 160. They also use the fairgrounds facility for camping, etc. So I really don't see an issue with allowing the RAD race participants to use our facility out there. Matter of fact, it'll generate a little bit of revenue.
Bob, I have a question, Chairman. Miss Tamira, how are you? This is Luis
Lopez. Good morning.
Good morning. I hear you mention about what group you want us to utilize for their services. What services would you be asking from the 4-H or the FFA?
So this is really just the model we use in Leadville. So it's really your choice. If you want to just run it the way you normally run it and the fairgrounds makes the money, I'll follow your lead. Up here, we do CMC, the college, and what they provide is essentially they manage all the money then goes straight to that organization. We don't touch it. And they manage the setup and they manage the check-in and manage, like, they're there and present when during that weekend to make sure that everything goes according to plan. And we'd work out, I think, Brandy, you and I discussed some kind of a contract and potentially some cleanup or some, you know, what the role would be there upon leaving of that group. And so that group, the organization would manage those pieces or whatever you see fit. That's what this group up here does. And that's the model I'm accustomed to, but whatever you believe would be the right path forward.
Have you had any communications with either group at this point?
We have not. Brandy, you didn't talk with them at all, did you?
No, I haven't.
We were going to get this part kind of taken care of first and make sure that we had approval from the board before we move forward, I believe was the plan.
Okay, thank you.
You know, and I think that the common way of securing Tampa, the facility, if we have the capability and availability, I think it's pretty much, from my perspective, it would be something that council would look at any type of agreement we have the need for. But as long as the facilities are available, I think if we can accommodate, that would be my perspective. If we have the space, I'd say let's do it. And as Cameron said, well, we'll go year one, and let's see what happens. And then I, as far as, and I wanted to follow up on what Commissioner Wiskoka said, as far as speaking on behalf of any organization, we can't. And that's going to be a conversation between the organizers and that organization, because, you know, specifically 4-H, those kids are young and they are going to be going back to school. Who knows what responsibilities they may have. So I think from the county perspective, my opinion would be is that is going to be kind of a separate dialogue with them. And we are just concerned about, are the facilities accessible? If they are, I'd say let's go ahead and do it. As far as security and so on, we already have protocols in place when the agreement is signed with Los Angeles County to provide those services.
I can add a few more points. Yes, I don't know that an additional review by council is necessary. I believe it's all covered in our fairgrounds policy as far as renting. And then for a different agency to be the recipients of, or a portion of the recipients, a portion of the revenues that would otherwise be generated by those rentals, that I'm not sure. That is something I think that council may have to look over, and that's why I added it as a consideration item within your agenda, is to adjust that, because to my knowledge, we've not done that in the past. What we have allowed to happen, I believe, is for certain nonprofits to charge for parking. I think that happens at the rodeo, if I remember correct, but parking is not a revenue generating item within our fairgrounds policy. So I think that's why that's been allowed to happen in the past, but I'm not sure about the rentals, because the camping rentals have been a direct revenue generator for the fairgrounds. So
I think, you know, to follow up, why don't we, if my fellow commissioners are in agreement, let's go ahead and go through us. We have that many questions. Let's go ahead and move that dialogue into executive session, and then the communication can continue on with the organizer.
Yeah, we have a consideration on it today. 9B for an adjustment to our policy. Remind me again, what is the date of the event?
September 29th and 30th. So the night that we want, the two nights that we'd want to have, just pulling up the calendar to make sure I don't say the wrong dates. We'd want to probably have it open. September 29th and 30th would be the ideal dates, but the event is on the 30th.
And it'd be for just camping and staging, or what would the use of that day be? And for check-in and check-out, I don't know how you do it in other communities, but you mentioned checking people in, checking people out. So I'm just trying to get a grasp of our staff, if we need to have staff on scene for 8 hours, 10 hours, or no staff at all. How does your procedure work in your other events?
Yeah, so we had, and I can double check with Darren. So our cross country coach, the funds here go to our cross country team. So the cross country team manages it at the college, and they have a set check-in, check-out time. And we put that, like, essentially, we create a link on our website that gives them a link to whatever page or whatever landing spot with the fairgrounds you'd want it to go to, so they can contact directly and that the money gets paid directly.
Let me back up a little bit on that. Where's this event that you do this at now?
Leadville.
Okay, so what facilities are you using for the camping? Is it county owned as well?
It is college property.
So college property, so totally different set of parameters. Yeah. So we have a policy here that we have to follow. So okay, I'm just trying to get my head around.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know how it works down there for sure. And the thought process was, if you have a group manage it, that then they would, and what they would want to manage is the link. So they'd manage, they'd keep track of the check-ins and how many registrations they have. And then they would say, hey, on Friday the 29th, you can check in for your camp spot or your RV spot. We have 30 tent spots and 20 RV spots, let's say, or 50 camp spots and 20 RV spots, whatever. And you have now already created that link. And I talked with Brandy. I think you have done this in a different, with a different setup before, with a link where they could register. We can talk through that. But essentially, that team, whoever that group is, would manage that. And then they would put out, hey, at Friday, we will be accepting, you know, check-in from 3 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And they'd be on site to make sure that they got the right people who already paid, because they would have prepaid through that link with you, that they have the right people showing up, and get them located where you want them to be and help them find their spot. And then really from there, their responsibility would diminish until we make sure we get them out of there. And potentially that's what this team up here does. They're not there on site, say for race day. It's really just for that check-in process to make sure that the right people showed up, and then they go back and clean up after everybody's gone.
And then for the RV, septic dumping, would that be something that is utilized up there, or where do these RVs dump their raw sewage?
For us personally, we don't have power hookup or RV dump on site at the college, and we just let them know, or the group up there manages that. We do actually coincidentally have a dump site at the bottom of the road of the college. So where they drive in, they go back down and they can actually dump right at the bottom of that. But it might be as easy as giving them an indication of where the dump site is in town. And that's just information that's given. But you would front load that, and I can work with whoever sets it up if you determine that you want some group to run it. And you front load it with, here's what the RV capabilities are for this weekend. You know, if there's power, great. If there's not, great. If there's no water, great. You know, just what the hookups are. And then it's really just that you can bring your rig and work off your generator or whatever is appropriate with the setup. And we'd manage that, help them manage that on the front side and just how they language it.
Okay. And the reason I asked is because I'm a Board of Health member as well, and I'm just putting that hat on at this point.
Sure.
Gray water discharge as well. You know, those things, we have some gray water discharge and we have some issues, especially, and not so much now, it's not as prevalent now, but there still is the issue of COVID that is in our sewage systems and our gray water systems as well. They're still transferable. And that is what we're finding the traces these days of COVID remnants, and it's still being found in our local sewage treatment centers. And so that's why I bring that question up. I don't think we have a sewage dump there on Fairmont Street.
We do not, and that's stated in our policy.
Okay.
There's no.
Okay, thank you. That's all the questions.
Thank you, sir. Do you have some questions? So, Tamara,
yep.
Martin played phone tag for about a week there.
Yes.
So, I think right now what we'll do is we'll keep the conversation going, and you'll get communication back from us, and definitely giving you the next steps. You know, my question is subcontracting, if you will, or using a group from the community under a county policy. I just want to make sure that we are within the liability perspective of 100% in place. So we'll take it from here. I thank you for the communication. Do you have any additional information, perhaps a really marketing, advertising, promotional here? Your last comment.
Let me give you a couple of comments on that. And just, you know, I will just to back up a second, and it may be worth the fairgrounds running it this year just to get a handle on it before doing more. You know, that I'm a big fan of slow and steady. Slow is smooth, smooth is fast. So everything's looking good on the race side of things. We have all the permits where they belong, and we are working closely with the city. We're kind of rerouting the last part that affected the city and not the county, but so that conversation, I was down in town 2 weeks ago or 10 days ago for a very brief stint to make sure we had the finish line set up. But our numbers are a little over 600. We're approaching 650 right now, and hoping our cutoff for the three races this year will be at 1,000. between the three. And just to give you kind of a little bit of what we're seeing across the board in terms of events, I'm in week five. We've got two more weekends to go of events up here. So we have seen a higher pickup rate than normal. So we would expect a higher pickup rate, even though it's later in the season. And as I think everybody knows, but I'll just make this an announcement to be sure that everybody on this call knows, the RAD was chosen as sort of our wild card for the Grand Prix. So we'll also be hosting a pro element of this event, and it's the seventh in their series for this year. So we're bringing some big names into town as a part of the event. And then just working closely with Floyd, need to get back with Floyd. I don't know if he's on this call and follow up. I know he was about to touch base with his team and make sure to follow up on some details, because the new route goes through the Trinidad Lake State Park, which hopefully showcases that to some of your people coming out there, that here's another element of Trinidad. That's a pretty awesome amenity here that you have. But everything is in line and in step. Is there any questions? I know Phil has our permit, and Phil, is everything good with the permit on your end? Any questions or comments there?
No, I haven't.
I didn't hear what he said, but.
He said no.
Okay. So any questions from the commissioners that I could just answer while I'm here at this moment about the event?
No, I think we pretty much put in all the information that we need to move forward and at least give you a recommendation, i.e. decision, and you'll get communication either from Brandy or from Mr. Thurl.
Okay, excellent. Thank you for your time, commissioners. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. You're great.
Talk to you.
And at this time, let me make an announcement. We have 15 minutes. We have a public hearing here in 10 a.m. So whatever we are in the portion of this meeting, we will have a hard stop to begin. It's public hearing at 10 a.m. So Section 8, we do not have any unfinished business. Let's go to Section 9, new business. Commissioners, as per the recommendation at the beginning of the meeting, 9A, I will need a motion to table this item.
Chairman, I motion to table resolution 23-017 with Samus Wind LLC.
Second motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. 9B, discussion and consideration of adjustment to fairgrounds policy for ride bike race events.
I think we can give us some information before we go into executive one. Get information for us, Mr. Sharma.
Well, I was just going to ask that you table it, but no, we can run through some of this.
Yeah. Have an open dialogue, or see where we're coming from.
Yeah. And Brandy, if you're still online, please chime in at any time that you wish to. On page 38 of the packet, which would be page one of the fairgrounds policy, second paragraph, it does, in my opinion, allow for the board to make certain waiver requirements and conditions. So allowing a nonprofit, as Tamara had mentioned, the 4-H or FFA, to perhaps collect the revenues and fees, I don't think that's completely outside of the board's authority. But again, that's going to be a question that council would have to answer. And camping's touched upon page 52 of the packet. It shows the rates of what we charge for camping with electricity, without electricity. And I think the RV is also part of that. So it's a small generator of revenue, but it is a revenue generator regardless. And as we mentioned earlier, the Pony Express 160, I believe what it's called, has utilized the fairgrounds facilities in the past, and our staff has not been the people who monitor the checking in and the checking out. And that's up to the race organizers, what we've done in the past, because our staff collects the revenues via our online permitting process. And then it's up to, then that's forwarded to the race organizer, and it's up to the race organizer to monitor who is and isn't checking in and checking out. We haven't done that in the past. Not to say that it should be done.
Additional entity be involved with that, and it's an agreement between the organizer and them now, if there would be any type of injury, where do we call it? That would be something for me personally.
So, in the past, we have some issues like that, especially for the town fair, rodeo with the high school cheerleaders in the past. And that was looked at back then with then insurance companies who investigated and they covered the longer on the property. But the like a county vehicle is being transported to and from the jail and inmate or any of those things that is covered for secrets. Like, we can look at it as well to be sure that. But as far as I'm looking at this, Mr. Dornkamp, as long as the fees are collected for the policy, any additional services the race organizer selects a nonprofit agency to assist them with, I think that's out of our purview and that's up to them to make that determination for that nonprofit. Is that kind of what you're saying?
It is, but I believe the intent is, and Brandy, please chime in. I believe the intent is to use part of those rental revenues to pay that nonprofit organization that would be overseeing the because I don't know, I wouldn't want to burden county staff with adding that additional fee on top of what the board's already approved via our fairgrounds policy of collecting that fee and then trying to get it funneled to whatever nonprofit organization the rad race event may want to use. You know, I think the intent was to use part of the revenues generated off of the camping to take care of it. Maybe like Tamara said, maybe this year we just let county take care of it, no nonprofits involved, and then next year we look at something different.
Yeah, just for clarification, the meeting we have only spending on that for that to kind of generate goodwill among the ranchers and the farmers in the area. Why this was brought up so that they can respect those families and help them bolster that goodwill, if you will, for this race because of that's the way it was brought up.
So, if it's we're going to executive session with the council, in my opinion, but if there's no issue with it, and we're not having to have county staff there, we're not putting the revenue out of county staff sharing the revenue coming into a nonprofit. I think it's a question the legal counsel to get. We'll go from there.
Great discussion. At this point in time, I think that there are no additional questions. I think the proper motion would be to table this item as well. I'm going to table 9B, consideration of adjustments to programs policy for ratified race events.
Second motion.
Mr. Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Felix Lopez?
Yes. 9C, consideration of cost allocation for 2024. It's Mr. Dornkamp or Finance Director Coberly.
I will defer to Finance Director Coberly for a change or two that need to be. And was there a change, I believe, that needed to happen with what's
I'm sorry.
That
would be old. It should now say increases of 2
as long as you sign the correct document.
As long as you sign the correct
document. Yeah, I have the board to buy item, and then I'm going to sign it and read it too. So that's something. Yes. Very good. Do we have any other questions on this particular agreement, Commissioner? Otherwise, I will then take a motion.
Motion to approve consideration of class allocation for 2024.
Second. With the change.
With the change.
Because what you have in front of you doesn't have that change. Okay. Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. Consideration of non-portable water agreement with the city of Trinidad and Tobago.
Commissioners, in the past, years ago, the city had a well down, I don't remember what street it was, down by the old waterworks building that. At that time, the county road and bridge department was able to pull water out of to help with our road maintenance at a very reasonable price. But not sure why that had to go away for a while, but it had. And we've been using potable water since then, which, and the city agrees, is a waste of potable water. The city's resurrected their pump again in their well, and this agreement will allow us to utilize that water. I have not got a rate yet on it. I asked the head of the water department within the city of Trinidad. I believe it's going to be about half price. So, because he had quoted me some rates here a while back, about half price of what the potable water is. And so, I'd ask the board to approve this because I guess if it gets more expensive than the potable water, we'll go back to potable. But I don't, it won't. He's already told me it's half price, if not.
And I don't want to relate to the only one thing is the wrong time that you can see the actual dollar amount, whatever that price of what.
I think we're paying 5 cents a gallon now.
Okay. And that's fine. I believe the agreement agrees well in the council agreement.
I just got a text from the city's water department. $1.65 for 1,000 gallons.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Commissioner, any other questions on this item? Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion to approve the non-potable water agreement.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. And since we're going to have a hearing here at 10 p.m., Commissioner, open for recess.
Motion to short recess until the 10 o'clock hearing.
Commissioner Haas? Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
And right now we're paying $50 a 1,000 gallons.
Oh, okay. Wow.
$2.65.
$40, $49 cheaper?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. it's on the phone though. It's
I can hear you now. They can hear you.
They can hear me? Let me see. Yeah. I'm not a camera though. Let me see here why my camera won't stall failed. Let me close this. That's this. Hey Julia.
I'm gonna take you off the phone.
Okay, but I can't, get on though. There's no video, so what do I need
That's
to
okay.
do?
That's okay. You're good as long as they can hear you.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to hang up.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Hello?
Ready?
Hello?
Garnetto, can you hear us?
Yes, now I can hear you, but I don't know, I don't have a camera though.
That's fine. As long as we can hear, we have some procedures to get started, and we'll be right with you.
Okay.
It's in online, and I'm going to call the assembly back to order. So I'm going to take a motion to resume the regular Board of County Commission meeting.
So move.
Second.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. And at this time, we're going to call this public hearing to order. It's 10:01. And let me go through some procedural rules and regulations. So this public meeting, we're going to be seeking input from the applicant of this liquor license, as well as anyone that is going to be opposing. The order is going to be as follows. Those that are in support of this liquor license will go first, and then we'll get comments from any opposition. And any one of the witnesses that are going to be speaking on behalf of this will have to be sworn in by the San Luis County Legal Counsel. And also, any dialogue and conversation that we engage in must be germane, pertinent to the liquor license. At any point in time, I, as the chairman of the Board of County Commissioners, will call to order if the conversation goes outside of that scope. So having said that, at this time, I believe we have Mr. Carluzzo on the line with us.
Hello?
Yes, Mr.
Carluzzo. I can't hear very well.
How about now? Can you hear us a little bit better?
Yes, better,
Okay, so Mr. Carluzzo, as the applicant of this particular liquor license, we are going to get you sworn in. So at this time, I'm going to ask you to raise your right hand, and our legal counsel will go through the language of the sworn in.
Okay.
You solemnly affirm and the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Please state your name. Your name?
William Garluzzo.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Garluzzo. And now we have some information questions for you. I'm going to yield the floor to Commissioner Luis Lopez.
Thank you, Chairman. Mr. Garluzzo, good morning. Can you hear me, sir?
Good morning.
The reason we are, and I'd like to also let the board know that for transparency reasons, Mr. Garluzzo and I had a conversation a couple days after the last board meeting when this was tabled for public hearing. And at that time, I indicated to Mr. Garluzzo that it was just for clarification today that the board had some questions. And so that's, I'd like to disclose that. So I'll move forward with my clarification with Mr. Garluzzo on the application that was presented before us. There was no listing of a manager on the application. Would you like to add that, or is it you are the manager, Mr. Garluzzo, of the establishment? Is that what we're reading? Do you have no other outside entity?
No, that's correct.
Okay. And the reason why I asked for this to move to this level because there were some rumblings that weren't clarified, and I just wanted to make sure we had clarification so we didn't have any issues with your license and your establishment moving forward
And I do thank you for your time. And the one other question I have for you that is not listed on the application is any other entities that are financially part of your business? So are you the sole investor in this business as well?
I am the sole investor with my business, yes.
Okay. Thank you. I have no other questions, Chairman. I just need that clarification.
Thank you, Commissioner Lopez. Let me ask two questions, but I'm going to ask our reporter to come and please sworn in.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you very well.
We are asking a couple of questions of the San Luis County Clerk and Reporter, so just stand by, Mr. Garduzo.
Okay.
Good morning. Having gone through the application and the paperwork that is in front of us, from your perspective, the only question I personally have for you is, does this application meet all the requirements, A, from the state, B, from the Clerk and Recorder's Office, according to statute?
Yes.
Commissioners?
I have no questions.
Thank you. And the same question, I think, certainly from legal counsel, and she'll usually give us or not, have you reviewed the application and that the application raise any other concerns, questions, or even?
I believe the application is complete as far as I'm concerned. I would just like to make a record based on prior to me making any vote on this case. Mr. Our commission recently stated something about rumblings, and that is why he wanted to ask this question. I just want to clarify for the record from Commissioner Lopez that the only evidence is considered in making this decision today is what was presented on the case.
And that's why I asked the question, just to clarify.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else that would like to speak on behalf of this? Please, right now, it would be the opportune time.
I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing. I didn't know what was the question.
No, Mr. Garduzo, at this point in time, we're going to be asking if anybody else would like to support the application, it would be time for them to provide comments. And if there is no one on the audience and or online that wishes to do so, I am going to ask anyone that would wish to provide testimony against this particular application.
What anyone would have, I wish I could hear better.
If anyone,
an opposition to me?
Yes, sir.
To get having a license? Not that I would know of. I've never had a violation, and I mean, it's just basically a little tiny restaurant with six stools. And
it is, so
I had,
Mr. Gardut, so this is the process that we have to go. We have to give an opportunity for those that support your application, but also we have to provide the platform for anyone that would wish to oppose. I'm not asking if you know of anyone, so I'm asking anyone in the audience that would like to provide a comments and our testimony against, and I don't see any at this point in time. So, seeing none, what I'm going to do is I'm going to call at this point in time for a motion on this particular application.
Chairman, I make a motion to approve the liquor license renewal application for the Dakota Wall Bar and Pizzeria.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez.
Yes, Mr. Garduzo, thank you. This hearing is closed, and this portion, your license has been approved, sir. Thank you, and have a great day.
Thank you. Did he say my license is approved?
Yes. That is correct.
Okay, thank you. It was hard for me to hear. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
And at this time, commissioners, I'm going to entertain a motion to enter back into the regular Board of County Commissioners.
Second.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. We're going to go to 9E, consideration of the San Luis County N 200-6010
Chrysler Pits Division of Reclamation, Mining and Safety Annual Report, Map and Food. Mr. Durham.
Commissioners, as the board's familiar with, this is a Division of Minerals Safety annual application renewal for our Chrysler bid. I'd ask the board to approve it.
Any regular process, commissioners, any questions from Mr. Durham? Otherwise, I will entertain the motion for approval of Los Angeles County's M2006010 Chrysler Pits Division of Minerals Safety.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. 9F, consideration of the Los Angeles County and 201-8019 Arnold Division of Reclamation, Mining and Safety Annual Report, map and fee, Mr. Durham.
Commissioners, similar to what the board just approved for the Chrysler pit, this is for the Arnold pit, North of Kim, that is the board to approve.
Commissioners, any questions for Mr. Durham? Otherwise, I will entertain the motion at this time.
Motion to approve Los Angeles County M2018019 Arnold Pits Division Reclamation, Mining and Safety Annual Report.
Second motion.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. We're going to go to Section 10, Financial Matters. Consideration of bills payable for the second half of July 2023 of the property. Any questions for I will entertain a motion. Move for approval.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. We're going to go into Section 11, Executive Session. The board will meet in executive session under CRS 24-6-402 for being confirmed with the county attorney for the purposes of specific legal advice on specific legal questions. A is going to be the discussion of the fairgrounds policy. B, assessment property. I will entertain a motion at this time. Second motion.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Peters Lopez?
Yes.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Yes, welcome back. It is now 11:25. Out of the second session, I'll entertain the motion to enter back into the regular Board of County Commissioners Tuesday, August 1st, 2023.
So moved.
Second motion.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Peters Lopez?
Yes. And at this time, we have on the table a 9B discussion and consideration of adjustment to the fairgrounds policy for the Lafayette Lakes event. I will entertain a motion to take it off the table.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. So, commissioners, I don't have any discussion, any more questions of this particular issue. Otherwise, I will entertain the motion at this time.
Chairman, I'll make the motion to not make any adjustments to the fairgrounds policy for the red bike facility.
Second motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. And having no other business on the agenda today, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. Thank you all. Have a great afternoon.
That's the first thing I'll be able to do. I still do my own.